141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards the post-split fixtures. Liam Scales says Celtic believe they can win all remaining games to become champions and end the season on a high. Stephen Robinson's got European qualification on his mind and a marquee result against Rangers. And Paul Sheeran's backing his colleague Derek McInnes to be in amongst the manager of the year discussions. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
If Celtic are to win their last six games, they'll need to defend a whole lot better than they did against Aberdeen at Hampden in the Scottish Cup semi-final, that's for sure. And added spice to the weekend games, because St Mirren and Dundee both have a real chance now of making Europe, and that gives them an extra incentive when they play Celtic and Rangers. Stephen Robinson quite right to fancy his chances in that 12:30 kickoff. And Tony Docherty, the kind of season that Dundee have had, albeit they'll be minus Joe Shaughnessy at the weekend, but they won't be quaking in their boots at the thought of Celtic going there either.
Oh, it's all set up nicely, Jim. We're slowly but surely moving on from the Scottish Cup semi-finals. We've got the post-split fixtures. It's awards season. Even the sun is shining to make the end of the season that bit better.
Yeah, I think it puts a smile on our face, but there's just still a lot of nervous tension going about, and still enough a lot to play for gone, which is fantastic for us. As we mentioned, there's still the relegation, although that could be more or less confirmed this week with Livingston and Ross County playing. As you mentioned, the European qualification, as you say, they're still to be decided. And of course, the big one, the title, still to be fought for. I was, pleasantly surprised that Dundee's attitude against Rangers. I thought that they might have just have achieved their goal and maybe come off the pace, but they didn't. They played very well, and I think they'll put a test up for Celtic at the weekend. And St Mirren, I've had a great season. They've tapered off a little bit, and I think that Stephen Robinson will definitely want his team to finish strongly. And again, I think a tricky game for Rangers at the weekend.
Come on down, 01419511025. What are you thinking tonight? Get in touch with Jim Duffy, Hugh Keevans, and put the world to rights. There's lots going on as always, so if you still have lingering thoughts, I mean, we're very much in midweek territory, but if you still have lingering thoughts from the weekend, feel free to air them. If you want to look forward to the weekend, feel free to do that as well. And I've spotted a potentially semi-quiet night. I don't think there's such a thing as a quiet night in Scottish football, but since it is midweek and we're in that middle ground, maybe tonight's the night we go for our full who should be player of the year discussion. We have handily put out a nice tweet for you at Clyde SSB, which you can reply to if you want to do it on social media, but we'd much rather get you on the phones, basically looking for your four-man shortlist. The reason being, that shortlist, the four-man shortlist, will be announced in the coming days. So I wonder who would make your four, and then who would be your winner out of that four. That is your task for tonight. If you want to do something more specific about games or players or whatever, what you've witnessed over the weekend, absolutely fine. But your four-man shortlist and your winner, because the shortlist will be announced in the coming days. Give us your calls on 01419511025. I'll leave Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy to stew on that a little bit. A bit of suspense. I don't want you to put us out of our misery right now.
I've only got three. I've written down three, and I'm trying to think of a fourth.
You're going to have to come up with something, and then you need to pick a winner as well. So you can tweet us, phone us, get all your thoughts over, and let us know what you are thinking. I just think all round, Jim, just feels like an exciting time. I know that's kind of obvious because it's always the part of the season where things are won and lost, but because of how close it is going to be the first Old Firm Scottish Cup final since 2002, which is quite remarkable. We've even got Euros to look forward to. That's a bit further in the distance, and we just hope everybody's fit. It is award season, like we say, so it feels like we're building up nicely for what's going to be a manic May.
Yeah, you've got the individual awards, obviously, for the players and for the manager, as you mentioned there, Paul Sheeran, I think it was, talking about Derek McInnes, and there's a number of candidates for that. Of course, these things are always great for the individuals that are involved in it. But in terms of the challenges for the teams, there are times, Gordon, when, you know, particularly in recent years, other than one in the last, 10, 12 years, the league it was wrapped up, it was done and dusted. A lot of the major decisions were already concluded. This is not the case this season. this is still a title to be fought for, and you know, you have to give it every part of concentration. You know, you cannot switch off at all. We've heard some of the players talking, you know, I think Cyril Dessers the other day, they're saying that he felt that Rangers were the best team if they can, you know, they get, you know, get their game together at the top level, that he feels that they were the best. You've had Liam Scales saying that they think that they're good enough to win all six games left. So the players are putting out statements, but they've got to go out in the pitch and back up, and it'll be tough enough itself this weekend. And as the matches get ticked off, it becomes even more nervous in the remaining weeks.
You've seen it all pretty much, Hugh Evans. Does a experienced campaigner like you still get excited about the run-in we've got?
Yeah, for sure. Because we've got an Old Firm Cup final and an Old Firm title decider potentially at Celtic Park on the 11th of May. I am on record as saying I think they're both average teams, and I do not retract one word of that statement. But even two average teams going for it over the last five matches makes for a very exciting race. And Jim's right, it's a long way back since you went into that final phase thinking this could go to the last day.
Bit of a blank canvas for you tonight on those phones, but let's do it. 01419511025. Are you still on about the weekend? Are you looking forward to the return of the Premiership? And maybe a bit of a fun, good debating one that we can get our teeth stuck into tonight. Who would be on your four-man shortlist for Player of the Year, and who would be your winner? The shortlist will be announced in the coming days, so let's get a debate going there. Who's your four-man shortlist? Who would be your winner? Take it away on Twitter or on the phones, and of course anything else at all, you know where we are. 01419511025. I think we are about to speak to Paul, whose call's just getting a bit lined up at the moment. Hopefully we can get Paul on in just a second, and indeed we can. Take it away, Paul.
Hello.
Hi Paul, take it away, we've got you loud and clear.
Hiya. Hi panel. Hi Hugh, hi Jim.
Hi Paul.
It's been a bit of a recurring theme this year from Hugh, and I've heard other Celtic fans last week taking me task on this, but mine's is a bit of bit-bone nuanced, I would like to think. Transfer window successes, Hugh?
None.
Okay, so you clearly, I know you class yourself as an old-style, old-school journalist. I'm an old-school mortgage advisor, so I sympathise with you, but you know, you really need to get your stats and do a bit of research before you make statements like that.
Uh-huh.
Ida and Kuhn's stats are comparable with anybody in an attacking mode, especially Ida coming on as a sub. They've both been successes. The guy Kuhn's pedigree was Ajax and Bayern Munich.
Where he couldn't get a game at either.
Well, neither can Marek Tillman. So that's my rebuttal. Marek Tillman couldn't get a game, and he was lauded as a wonder boy.
That's whataboutery. You're on to talk about Celtic, so you don't need to reference a Rangers player.
No, I'm not. I'm referencing an ex-Bayern Munich player. I'm not referencing a Rangers player. So the fact that you can't get a game for one of the top clubs in Europe shouldn't deem you a failure. The crosses that the guy puts in, if it was coming from an English Premier League, a Grealish or a De Bruyne, he can ping a ball in at an angle that I haven't.
Well, maybe steady with those comparisons, I think, Paul.
Come on, Paul.
What I'm saying is, if you talk modern parlance about, you know, moves and attack in the last third and all the rest of it, then the guy's stats are very, very impressive.
Which stats? Because I'm not huge on stats, and Hugh will be even less so. So educate me. What stats in particular impress you from Nicholas Kuhn?
Well, Kuhn and Ida. So I'm lumping the two of them together.
Let's go Kuhn first, then, if you don't mind. Because obviously Ida's goals, you're right, Ida's kind of goals to minute would be pretty good. What stats of Nicholas Kuhn's have impressed you?
Kuhn's are just minutes played and assists. The amount of dribbles, all of that, crosses completed, all of that, his stats are pretty impressive.
How many assists has he got so far? How many assists has he got so far? I know that this almost sounds like I'm trying to catch you. I'm not, because I don't know what the answer is. You could tell me 10, you could tell me one that I've not looked.
I'm going to guess maybe 7, 6 or 7, maybe, something like that.
Well, I guess, you know, I think you're over-egging it, to be perfectly honest. Adam Ida...
Hold on. Sorry to interrupt you. You've been over-egging it since the transfer window, right? And it's... I can't be the only... It's not a coincidence that you keep dissing now. The Celtic manager has referenced the narrative, right? You keep going on about the failure, right? So, sometimes that happens. So, Ida and Kuhn have came in and there've been successes. Would you agree?
They've been okay. I think you're over-egging it. Listen...
Yeah, I had a quick look, Paul. I don't think Kuhn's getting anywhere near the amount of assists that you said he does. By the way, that's not to say he's not a good player,
accuracy. Assists plus goals, sorry. Talk about like if it's points for assists and goals.
Well, Paul, you're trying hard, but
it's three goals.
He's no better than okay.
I still don't know about the numbers. Like I say, that doesn't mean he's not a good player. I'm just talking about the facts of it. Because he's got three goals.
Paul, you've salvaged two players from the wreckage of two transfer windows. Celtic can't get their defensive act together in spite of having spent £7.5 million on two players that they cannot trust and will not play. And there are those who, like Tilio, who are now back in Australia, others like Odin Tiago Holm, who have vanished without trace, likewise Kobayashi. The two transfer windows have been horrendous.
Would you concede that Adam Ida scored some important goals for Celtic and he's made differences in quite a few games?
He is one that, and possibly the only one, that you would look at and say, well, he's done a ton. Since he came up, you have to say that he has done a ton. And, you know, he very nearly scored what could have been a league-winning goal against Rangers at Ibrox, but Rangers managed to get a third before the game ended. But I do think, with respect, Paul is over-egging it to a ridiculous degree, particularly in the case of Nicholas Kuhn.
I've got a funny feeling. Paul's over-egging it in one direction. Hugh's over-egging it in the other.
No,
and you're going to be the voice
of
reason in the middle.
Where you cannot have me, though, is that I have detailed the failures, the wreckage of these two transfer windows, Celtic's defence much maligned after the cup tie with Aberdeen, and they're going to Dundee at the weekend and they cannot play Lager Bielka or Navrotsky from the start because Brendan Rodgers wouldn't trust them at all.
To be fair, that is very old ground and Paul is referencing two players specifically. Is there a player in Nicholas Kuhn for you, Jim?
I think there might be a player in Nicholas Kuhn. I'm with you in some aspects of it that I think that he's still got a lot to prove. I think that he's a player with potential. I think, like, we know, like, Yang is a player with potential. And sometimes you have to give time to players. Again, coming from a different country, different culture, different way of playing, the expectations, demands, all of these things to play for Celtic is huge in comparison to where he's came from in terms of the responsibility on his shoulders. So I think you have to give time, and I think he's shown flashes of quality. And I think that if he does continue to improve, understand the demands of Celtic, the way Scottish football is played, then I think he can be. There's a player there. You know, how quickly he does that, if he does it at all, we'll have to remain and see. A bit, like, as I said, Yang, and it's difficult. I think we sometimes want instant, an instant success, and we want the perfect formula for players coming in. Doesn't always work that way. I think Ida is a wee bit easier because he's played British football, Championship football predominantly, down at Norwich. So I think it's easier for him to come up to Celtic. He knows what it's about. He's an Irish international. So all of those things are a wee bit easier for him. And I think he has done well. And there's been a number of players, as Hugh said, who have totally underperformed. He mentioned the centre-backs, but obviously the likes of Welsh getting back in, Scales, all these kind of guys, rather than the guys I've signed money for. So I don't think it's been a successful period for Celtic in the transfer windows, but the two players that Paul mentioned, I think, have certainly been two of the shining lights. I think Bernardo, Palmer, at times, have shown that they've got something. But again, are they better than the current players that are in the team? Is Bernardo better than O'Reilly or Hatate or McGregor? Was he better than David Turnbull? I'm not so sure. But those are the type of things that you need a little bit of time to assess. And I just think we're very, very quick to make statements on players.
I've got to the bottom of it, Paul. It's three goals and two assists. So five goal contributions for Nicholas Kuhn. Is that a bit less than you thought when you called?
I think it was the contributions per minute. It was obviously one of these
reels or whatever that I skim read. So, but I'd already made my mind up about him before I came on anyway. And Ida, I think the amount of, if you want to go and put a premium on vital goals, the penalties against Hibs, all of that, and you know, just sorry, but you know, there's a history of players coming to Celtic and Rangers. Mark Haitley, Mark McGee, Philip Hollander. There's, you know, they didn't do it in the first season. Now, one of the other things, one of the points I try to make was, I think it might have been more difficult to blood younger players, albeit the seasons internationals, they paid good money for them, but you didn't have Carter Vickers there to blood them. And you're asking maybe Liam Scales or Stephen Welsh to go in alongside Alaga Bielka. I'm not disagreeing that they've been failures to you. So for the avoidance of doubt, I'm not saying that. Bernardo could be a potential replacement for O'Reilly, who will certainly go for a Scottish record transfer in the summer. And Palma hinted at the weekend that he had other issues, that we weren't seeing the best of him. So, you know, again, you know, only American players in particular do find it hard to settle, and Burnaby is a perfect example of that. Against the backdrop of Hugh using, you know, in my opinion, extreme language to describe two guys that have came in, they've done more than okay. Adam Eda has done more than okay. Barry Robson was lauded when Gordon Strachan was manager for coming in at the transfer window. In my opinion, Eda has done as much as Barry Robson did when he came in. As an example,
I do think that was a record for the number of names. You ever heard a call where we've gone from Barry Robson to Mark Haitley, Mark McGee, yeah. Malik Tillman, yeah. De Bruyne? I liked it, Paul. I like your style.
Also,
getting it all in.
Also, OK is described as extreme language. Yeah. Hang around till 8 o'clock.
See, Paul, I think you and Hugh are actually more alike than you think, because you think his language is extreme. He might think you being very confident that Matt O'Reilly goes for a Scottish record transfer fee is extreme, because it's quite a lot of money. 25, what is it? We were sitting at 25 million or something. I guess we will see.
0141 951 1025
if you want to get in touch. And of course, player of the year, who's your final four, your top four, and who gets your nod? We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. 0141 951 1025. Part one of the show. Hugh's getting it tight already, which is what he's here for, quite frankly. And if you want to join in on that sport, you can. We're also going to discuss tonight your player of the year thoughts. The shortlist will be announced in the next few days, maybe the end of this week. I think the start of next week. So I wonder, let's get in front of it and see what you think. Your four-man shortlist for Player of the Year, and ultimately your winner from that list. It will be voted for by the professionals, but you've already disagreed with most of their picks in Team of the Season, so why not do this in advance? 0141 951 1025. Go on then, Hugh Keevans. Give the people what they want. Your four-man shortlist looks like what?
Well, first of all, Nicholas Kuhn.
Stop it.
No, I'm going with Shankland. I think we'll get it. And purely and simply on the goals. And after all, that's what he's there for. He was rubbish at the weekend. Absolute torture against the Rangers. But
tell us what you really think.
He is the player of the year.
Oh, so he's the winner?
He's the winner,
right?
Yeah.
And who are the also-rans on the shortlist?
For consistent class, Matt O'Reilly. For his goals and assists, Tavernier.
Now be honest, because at the start of the show you said you only had three. Is that three?
And then I forgot about Butland. Right. So there's the four.
So he's like really an also ran on your list that you couldn't even remember.
Yes, Shankland will get it.
But Shankland to
unopposed.
Win. Okay, I'll get Jim Duffy's. Go on then, give us your four.
Well, I've got the three that Hugh mentioned. I've got Shankland, Tavernier and O'Reilly. But then I've got Bojan Majowski. I've also got Luke McCowan, and I've got Daniel Armstrong. So those are the ones that, you know, those other ones I think could compete, because I think playing for those type of clubs like Dundee and Kilmarnock, you don't get the same spotlight. You know, you're maybe not playing with the same quality of players, with all due respect. But the level of performances, I think, have made them stand out and put those clubs in the top six and then Kilmarnock's position a European place. So I think they deserve a mention. But Majofsky would probably get it for me because I think really? Without him,
wow,
without him, I think Aberdeen would have been in a relegation battle.
Where would Hearts be without Shankland?
Mm. Yeah, well, exactly. But I've mentioned Shankland, so I've got Shankland, obviously, I think. Again.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were saying Majofsky would win.
Oh, no, no, that's my top four. He would just go ahead of McEwen and Armstrong.
So who's the winner from the four?
Shankland.
Mm. I wonder if we'll get anyone who says something else, because I feel like it might. Everybody keeps saying it's nailed on.
That's a certainty.
No, for the winner, though, I feel like we'll get some variations on the four.
This programme is dedicated to giving you the view.
Contrary
you,
opinions. Yes. I know, but just some things feel like they're heading in a certain direction. I'm more than happy to be corrected on that. Let's try with Ewan in Campbelltown. How's it going, Ewan?
Very good, thanks, Gordon. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hello.
What are you thinking? What would be the four? Give us the. Don't do what you did. You announced the winner at the start. Give us your four. Build up a bit of suspense, and then who would be the winner?
I think both of them are very, very close, you and Jim. But I would actually go for Majofsky over Butland in the four, and I agree with the other three.
Okay.
Consistency. I'm afraid I have to jump on the Shankland bandwagon that he should be the player of the season. I think he's the standout player. So I'm going to go down that road. My second point.
We'll get to that. Don't worry. The four can be yours for a lot longer, Ewan. Let's deal with that because there's various factors, Jim. The goals obviously would have put Lauren Shankland in the discussion at any point. Mm-hmm. It's 28, I think, for Hearts. He's got his Scotland goal, not that that necessarily counts. Led the line, captain, actually his link-up play. I feel like this is the season that people have started opening their eyes to the fact that he doesn't just stand in the six-yard box and score goals. You obviously know that, but you know, it feels like that's become a lot more widely acknowledged. But the consistency across. So yes, he went about four or five without a goal before scoring against Livingston last weekend. But when you compare him to the others on the list, Matt O'Reilly was magnificent for the first part of the season. Yeah. Then he's gone pretty quiet. Yeah. You know, other players have come in and out, and guys that usually would be involved. I think most people know Carter Vickers is the best or one of the best defenders in the league, but he's not really been there. It's hard to find a weakness in the case for Lauren Shankland, really.
Yeah, over the course of the season, like any striker, there'll be a couple of times that he's not scored goals. But I think there's a number of things. As you mentioned, his overall game has improved significantly. His link-up play, his assists. He set two in a plate last week for Vargas, I think it was. You know, and again, he's got good number of assists as well as his goal return. His leadership qualities, again, scored big goals against the likes of Hibs and things like that, which for Hearts is absolutely paramount and vital. You know, a complete different range of goals as well, from the spectacular to the tap-ins. So he's to me, he's the complete centre-forward. I agree with Hughie, he had a poor game at the weekend, as did, in fact, every Hearts player, I think, really, if the truth be told. But overall, over the course of the season, I think he's been, you know, the most important player for Hearts, and you know, the most consistent striker. Even though, as I mentioned, Majofsky has been terrific for quite a poor Aberdeen side.
The very fact that people still talk, Jim, about Majofsky as a possible Celtic or Rangers player next season tells you the qualities that the man has. And I agree with your point, Gordon, that if you take away. Jim's point. If you take away Majofsky's goals, Aberdeen would for sure be in the relegation playoffs, I think.
Yeah, it's a good point you make, Jim. I kind of forgot about that side of it, because there was a spell, was that around sort of December, January, February, where he was scoring every week, doubles and all sorts, and some of them were excellent goals as well. I mean, they all count anyway. But,
but it's
not
his movement as well. Yeah. You look at his movement even at the weekend there. You know, against Celtic, he gave Carter Vickers.
I was talking about Shankland.
I
had almost forgotten about the quality of some of those goals.
Yeah, goals outside his foot, right foot,
outside the box.
Unbelievable goals Lauren Shankland scored. And again, just he's not playing with a regular partner. He's played with various different people in different systems. He's played with guys, you know, like as I say, Vargas, Liam Boyce. You know, he's a different player.
Gianelli last season, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's had to adapt to different styles, different players. But he's just thrives on the responsibility. He's grown as a player. He's grown as a person. I'm with you. I think he's nailed on. I'll be majorly surprised. Listen, everyone will have their views. Tavernier, we know in recent weeks, has had a lot of criticism, particularly from Rangers fans. But his goal returns and assists, you cannot deny.
Was he for on
a
your
fullback?
Four?
Yep.
He has had
a phenomenal record of for a fullback, and I don't think he should be dismissed. Even though recent weeks, yeah, of course, he's been off the boil.
What about from your own team's perspective, Ewan? I can't remember which one. Did you kick Butland off the list for Miovsky?
I do. I'm a Rangers supporter, yeah. But I think Miovsky should be on the list ahead of Butland.
What's behind that? Is that because that old thought of, you know, Rangers goalies aren't that busy? Is it one of them?
Well, that's part of it, yeah. I mean, he's done nothing wrong all season, Jack Butland, but you can't. Well, Miovsky's carried Aberdeen.
If you had a choice, Ewan, for Rangers, would you sign Miovsky or Shankland in the summer?
Shankland, by a country mile.
Oh, there you go.
Is that a fair point about the goalies can win it? They don't win it very often. If you're a goalie at one of the big two, do you need to be outstanding? Like, Jack Butland's been really good, and as Ewan says, hasn't really done anything wrong, but you probably need to, like, win your team an Old Firm game, as an example, or it just must take something really special.
And clearly, on the basis that Celtic have played Rangers three times and that Rangers have yet to win one of those, but he does become outstanding when he needs to be in games. And any man who can get the England manager up here to watch a game when you wonder if they have sat nav in their cars and could find Scotland. He did that. He got Gareth Southgate to watch him.
To rephrase that, he'll absolutely be part of the discussion, Jim. Just to take the top spot as a goalie, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, listen, over the years, you've had, whether it's Fraser Foster when he was up at Celtic, having some tremendous performance, particularly in Europe, some huge saves. You had Alan McGregor at Rangers, and everybody knows his record was outstanding. Craig Gordon did win it, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think he won the PFA one though, did he? Yeah. I remember the Football Writers one.
I think he won the Football Writers. Yeah. But, you know, it's harder for goalkeepers, and I think particularly if you play for Celtic or Rangers, I think you have to come up with the pivotal games, the derby games, the European games. You have to come up with, whether it's penalty shootouts, a bit like Martinez there, you know, the other night there for Villa. You know, you need to be in the spotlight a little bit in those pivotal games, and that draws attention to you. Normal consistency does, for a goalkeeper, that's what you want: solid, dependable, reliable, these type of things. But it doesn't get you the votes when it comes to the end of the season. You need a few outstanding moments to catch the eye.
K-Frog says there's a good chance Hart and Butland win Player of the Year for their respective clubs. Doubt that's ever happened before. Has it? Tell us. I don't know, K-Frog, but you might be onto something. I don't know if Matt O'Reilly would have something to say about that, or James Tavernier, but it could be. There could be a chance, I would agree. What was your other point, Ewan? I know you had something else to share with the guys.
Yeah. It's nominating the Manager of the Year. I really don't see how we can do it before the season ends.
Yeah.
Because if we nominate Celtic manager, nominate the Rangers manager, and the other team wins the league, then it looks ridiculous.
Well, that's why it obviously won't happen, Ewan. I've already gone for John McGlynn, the Falkirk manager. I know it's down the leagues, but they're still undefeated. He's won them promotion by the length of Sucky Hall Street. And, you know, I do take your point. If you give it to Philippe Clement and Brendan Rodgers wins the title, or vice versa, then you look foolish. And this is an award voted for by their fellow managers. And I think John McGlynn deserves to be considered because of the sheer consistency of his work.
Now, this is the beauty of the phone-in. Ewan's allowed to bring it up. You're allowed to respond. What you both don't realise is that you're spoiling the Who's the Manager of the Year show next week, or whenever we decide to have it. So we'll dip our toe. I don't want a long analysis of the list, because we'll do that at some point down the line. It's an age-old problem, Jim. It's not exclusive to Scottish football. It's just what happens at this time of the year. The Scottish Cup final, which can swing good season to bad season for both in different ways. It's the 25th of May. You just can't wait till then. It just is what it is, and it's imperfect, but it's this way every season.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how you get around it. I've seen award ceremonies taking place like a month ago and stuff like that, and it's just what happens.
Yeah, I think that if you're whether it's a Football Writers Award or whether it's the PFA and managers themselves are voting for it, I think they look at you know what a manager's done over the course. They're not looking at maybe an individual trophy or a specific event that they, you know, fans will do at times. I think they're looking maybe at the background story, how he's done, how he's developed something. As Hugh said, take John McGlynn, how he has finished second last year, but the consistency level, finished behind Fellman, but managed to even better that consistency this year. So managers will look at that and
that
should look at a body of work.
Though, because ultimately, take Philippe Clement as one example.
Yeah.
On the nighttime, 25th of May, he might be a treble winner.
Yeah.
He might have won two, he might have only won the League Cup, at which point there's no way you're getting manager of the year. So
no, but again, as you mentioned, you have to put a vote in at a certain time. So therefore that's just the way it goes. But if you're looking at, again, if you're voting for Philippe Clement, for instance, you would look and think, where were Rangers when he came in? They were a bit of a shambles, let's be honest. He has improved the team dramatically, and the performance levels, the consistency levels, all these sort of things. So again, if you're going to vote for him and he happens to win the treble end of the season, then you've proved 100% right. But I think managers will look at a body of work rather than an individual trophy.
Anyway, that's the last I'll hear of it. We'll debate manager of the year at another time. Tonight is all about your player of the year. Who's your four-man shortlist and who's going to win it? Ewan on the line, Hugh Keevans, Jim Duffy, 100% for Lauren Shanklin so far. Any other names that you think can take the top prize and who's on that final four? Give us a call right now and let us know whilst I run this past you.
Clyde One.
£1 million, make me a winner.
Win your share of £1 million.
Make me a winner.
What would you rather win? Player of the year or win big on £1 million, make me a winner? Well, you've already done one of them, Jim Duffy, so you could add the other. Hugh Keevans and
I'll definitely take the other.
Well done to Karen, who did win big. 107. She's going to go away with her family, pay off the son's mortgage, buy a new place. She's got all planned out, and you could join in with £175,000 paid into your bank account straight after the call tomorrow, but only if you're in that draw by either texting yes to 61025, where the texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2, or you can call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are online. And the important bit, if you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within five rings and say, make me a winner straight away, and the £175,000 is in your account by tea time. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Jim Duffy are here. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're asking you who is on your four-man shortlist for player of the year, and ultimately who's the winner. One of the panel tonight has won PFA Scotland's Player of the Year. Right, can you guess? Can the camera just zoom in on the two of them and you can guess which one it was? What year are we talking, Jim Duffy?
It was 1985, I'm afraid. Probably half your listeners weren't even born, but there you go.
Present company included. But I have to say, I say this every year, Hugh, because I think Jim Duffy's too humble for his own good. I like to bring it up every single year. We're talking about Jack Butland and how can a goalie at one of the top teams win it? How can a defender for one of the bottom teams? That shows how good they must have been. So you were at Morton at the time.
Yeah.
One player of the year, and Morton went down that season.
Yeah.
How good must he have been?
He's so humble.
So what, you'd have been down by Christmas if it wasn't for you? Is that the...
I think they were down by Christmas, even with me.
Halloween.
He's so humble, he didn't even remember the proper hotel where he got his award.
Genuinely, right? I know I say it every year, but every year the more I think about it, that's a Livingston centre back getting player of the year this year.
Trust me, I'm certainly old enough to remember Jim Duffy getting the player of the year. And he was genuinely the outstanding, unopposed candidate. He was sensational.
Right, enough about that, though. That's too much praise
for
one night.
Give you a lift home.
Now come clean about what you did in the hotel when you won the award.
Well, everybody can know I'm Mary Hill boy, so you take advantage of everything you're going. So very quickly, I'll run through it. You get a free hotel room. So I was up in the hotel, came down in the morning, had the award in a box. It was all boxed up, obviously. Put the box in reception. The girl said to me, checking out Mr. Duffy. I said, that's fine. She went, oh, is that your award? And she opened the box up. I'd taken all the freebies. So I'd taken all the shampoo, all the body lotions, the apples, the bananas, the fruit, everything was on it. And it all just fell out onto the reception desk. And she just looked at me and I looked at her. And she's obviously looked at me and thought, shampoo, you are having a laugh. And I thought, and she went, oh, that's what it's all there for. So she tried to cover it up. And I was trying to, the apple actually rolled out onto
you can take the boy out of Mary Hill.
You can take the boy out of Mary Hill, but I did try to take everything. It was for nothing.
Did you get the towels?
I couldn't quite get the towels into the box, you. But anyway, leave it in the bag.
The ironing board was a step too far.
The robe and the slippers, towels, everything. Yeah.
But anyway, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. There is quite a consistency to the lists that are coming in. You're all quite similar to Jim and Hugh, which I don't know how that makes you feel. Andrew Morrison, it's tight between O'Reilly and Shankland. I think O'Reilly probably deserves it top class, but Shankland will win it, and no one could begrudge him. GM, Butland, Shankland, Tavernier, Miovsky. So he's omitted O'Reilly.
Yeah, a few random ones like Michael Higden a few years ago.
Yeah, Martin has gone along your lines. Jack Butland, Matt O'Reilly, Lauren Shankland, and Luke McCowan. Mm-hmm. So are we start. I mean, Luke McCowan didn't make team of the year, but he did get a few mentions. Are we seeing? Is he the kind of left field or the what would we call it, the unsung hero then? Yeah. If he's unlikely to make the final list, do you think he deserves?
Yeah, I think with
a
Daniel Armstrong again at Kilmarnock, there are players who were so pivotal to their teams in terms of the performance levels and the consistency, the contribution. And I think that these players are sometimes a bit underrated. They go a bit unnoticed because we tend to focus, as we mentioned, they're always on the big two in particular. And then other players like Shankland scoring other goals, we've said, spoke about Miovsky. But I think Luke McCowan's been outstanding for Dundee, coming up from Ayr United to go and play in it's his real first season at top level football because Dundee were in the Championship last year.
Could he take another step up, with no disrespect to Dundee, do you think? I mean, he's about 26, 27 now. He's not overly young, no. But
sometimes you have to learn your trade, Gordon. You know, sometimes we move players and we jump in too quickly. At other times, a bit like Lauren Shankland, which Shankland, who's 28, something like that. So sometimes it takes you a few years just to get to know the game, get the knowledge in the game and get the belief that you're good enough. And it can take you that extra couple of years. So, yeah, I think he's got another level in him. I don't think there's any question about that. To what extent, I think we'll have to wait and see. I know Dundee were talking about young Cameron attracting a bit of interest. And I think if he is, he's got the age side of it. But I think McCowan would probably be attracting, getting a bit of attention as well. I'll be surprised if he's not.
Okay, let's go to George, who's in Battlefield. How are you, George?
Hi guys, cheers for having me on tonight.
A pleasure. What you got on your mind this evening?
I've had it on my mind for a while, and it's just to kind of clear this big debate that's ongoing here, because there's mixed reviews, and even Hugh Keevans was talking about it tonight. A certain player, James Tavernier, just to sing his praises, I mean, since he joined Raiders, it was like 2015 or something like that, he's nailed on. He's, if you take the top away, if you take the club away, if you just look at him as a physical player, I would say he's just an athlete. I mean, I think it was COVID. I think he was off a few times. He switched with Patterson. He's had a knee injury. But see, apart from that, he's near enough played every single game. That's absolutely phenomenal for his age. I think the guy's 31, 32, but I think that's brilliant. And look what he's done. The goals, the assists, okay. His defending is debatable at times, but if you see past that and look at him as a winger and what he's provided to the club, I don't know why people give him grief half the time. It just seriously angers me.
For consistency.
I don't want to get any more grief after that.
For consistency, he's unsurpassed. Every season, he comes up with the number of games that he plays. He's never troubled by injury. He always provides the goals and the assists. And I know it's commonplace to have the joke about the number of penalties he converts and all the rest of it. He didn't award them to himself. And when they are awarded, it's the award of a penalty, not the award of a goal. So he has to take them. And he misses plenty as well. I just think for sheer consistency, over 9 years, he has been a phenomenon for Rangers. And if the stories are true, and he's off to join Steve Gerrard in the Emirates, then the Rangers will miss him. That's for sure.
What's at the root of this, George? Is it when Rangers do drop points and they do have those bad days like Ross County and Dens or results like that? Do people use him as a scapegoat, or does he happen to have bad games in the games that Rangers drop points and therefore he's bound to get a bit of stick?
No, it's definitely a scapegoat. That's what annoys me about it. Everyone just seems to jump on his back. And I don't think he has bad games at all. At the end of the day, he's one player. That's a full team. He's the captain. He's going to get a lot of stick. But he's hold-up play. Like, I don't know anyone that can hold the ball up better than him. Like, he very rarely loses the ball when he's got it. And if you look at his passes go direct to players. He's setting players up. He's putting passes through the defence. Sometimes his passes are going like through the eye of a needle. Do you know what I mean? I just can't see why people can underlook him.
I think they're bound to be high profile ones, though. You know, you can't say he doesn't have bad games.
No,
that's going too far.
Try Dingwall and try then D after that.
And Dyson Maeda breathing down his neck tends to cause some issues. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the first call tonight where we're talking about two extremes and do we meet somewhere in the middle. Maybe he does get a raw deal and maybe deserves credit for the numbers, but he's fallible like many.
I mean, you look at strengths of players and I think sometimes we overlook strengths. We always look for weaknesses. We always look at the negative side of players. And I think Tavernier's, the perfect example of that. Every time people mention him, they mention the defensive frailties, if you want to call it that. But there's a number of reasons why that can happen. More often than not, it's because he's advanced in the space. He leaves space. He's always... If he's struggling, he's tracking back the way. He's never facing opponents or rarely facing opponents because that's the way the game is played. And most fullbacks are like that now. But his record, I think, if he had another two titles, for instance, in those 9 years, I don't think he would get anywhere near the criticism, Gordon. I think the biggest issue, I don't know if George agrees or not, is that Rangers have only got one title under Steven Gerrard. But every manager that's come in has had him as number one pick in their team, every manager. So he's obviously got the correct attitude at training, the correct attitude in the dressing room, a positive influence around about the club, and his standards, or in the match days, because every manager. But I personally think that a lot of his criticism is to do with the fact that Rangers have only won one title in those 9 years.
We're nearly at the news. So briefly, George, we're talking player of the year tonight. Are you going as far as that? Should he be in the conversation? Should he win it?
Aye, I'll go with that. I'll stick with that.
He's committed to the cause, is George. It's 01419511025. Give us a call and we're going to play this right now.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy and win yourself not only a sign ball, but the bragging rights as well. 0141 951 1025 is the number and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Former PFA Scotland Player of the Year Jim Duffy joins Hugh Keevans, and the theme of this evening is who would be on your four-man shortlist for Player of the Year and who would be your winner. That's not to say you can't call about anything else. You want to talk the title race or the Scottish Cup or anything else at all, this is the place to do it, as always. 0141 951 1025. If you get in touch right now, we'll do our best to get you on after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Try to think the history of this week. Roger Hannah got a 10. He joined.
Kenny Miller got a 10.
Yeah. He joined your club.
Yeah.
I don't think Kenny got 10, did he?
Oh, did he?
No, I think it was just a more straightforward. Oh, no, he did. He made 2 10s this week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's depressing, isn't it?
It's anyway, bad when you can't remember.
It is.
It's only Wednesday.
I know.
You've only had 2 nights.
I know.
So they've either had to have 10 each night.
They did. I think that's really bad. Hopefully not tonight. Chris is in Dumbarton. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Most people are on for the first time, but I think you've played before, is that right?
Yeah, I played Tony Watt last year, I think it was.
Did he beat you?
No, I beat him.
Ah, quite right. Tucked him away. He's a championship winner now, of course.
Yeah, exactly. I was up at the game at the weekend.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
How was it?
Aye.
Good atmosphere.
Nervy.
Was it?
Yeah, very nervy. But managed to get the one goal and seal the deal.
There we go. Yeah, back in the top flight next season. I have to say, I've had a wee glance. I think they're quite tricky tonight.
Not to
worry you. And those watching on the live stream, it's good fun watching Beat the Pundit in the live stream. You can see the panic on the faces. It must have come on a bit early after the news. And Graham says, was that Shug scrolling through Twitter there during the break?
No, I was looking to see if anybody got in touch with
him. No, I think he's joking. I think he knows fine well that thing phone, can't handle Twitter.
No. I was on a Zoom call yesterday.
Jeez, right.
No, on your phone.
No.
I heard that in true Hugh Keevan's fashion, you chose to do it in this office.
Correct.
And you came in and you had about 40 people trying to set up Zoom for you.
I had George Bowie's producer. I had Shane the Mad Kiwi. I had Cara Conway from the newsroom. I brought the whole place to a standstill.
He walks in and people just flock after him, Jim.
Of course, they all do that. Yeah, of course. He's got
a small step for mankind, a giant step for the Shugster.
Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. Heads, it will be the Shugster, and tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And the Shugster can sit back and enjoy, because it's tails, Jim all Duffy, right. Against Chris from Dumbarton. So what we'll do here is give Jim something else to listen to, most likely Greatest Hits Radio, nice and loud. And you're a veteran, Chris. You've got 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man, your time starts now. Who is Jack Hendry's current club boss?
Oh, pass.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the smallest capacity?
Pass.
What club did Kenny Miller join after his second Rangers spell?
Vancouver.
Name any English Premier League team that doesn't have a Scot in their first team squad.
Burnley.
Who took the Celtic captaincy after Tom Boyd?
Oh, Jackie McManus.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. It is tonight, isn't it? It's Jim Duffy. These are tough tonight. These are, I'm afraid. You ready, Jim?
Yep.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Who is Jack Hendry's current club boss?
Jack Henry. Oh, no, pass.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the smallest capacity?
Can I go back to that one? Is it Stephen Gerrard? But anyway, see that again.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium is the smallest?
Lovieston.
What club did Kenny Miller join after his second Rangers spell?
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Name any English Premier League team that doesn't have a Scot in their first team squad.
Oh, Liverpool.
Who took the Celtic captaincy after Tom Boyd?
Scott Brown.
Okay. What do you think, Chris?
They were tough tonight, yeah.
They were really tough. It's low scoring, I can tell you that.
No, I can guess that.
Let's find out. Who is Jack Hendry's club boss? Stephen Gerrard. But you passed it.
I know.
Oh, Jim, it's going to come back and haunt you. The Premiership stadium that's the smallest. Chris, I thought you'd have just guessed one, but you passed it. You went, Livy, it's Ross County.
All right.
You both went Vancouver Whitecaps, incidentally, but it was Bursaspor. Kenny Miller was that. They were really tough tonight. I have to say, this question, incredible. Name any English Premier League team that doesn't have a Scot. Andy Robertson, so it can't be Liverpool.
But is it West Ham?
There are loads. There are absolutely loads. Yeah. But somehow, Chris, I thought of all the, because I think fairly obvious, easy for me to say, that Man City don't have a Scot. Yeah. Spurs, West Ham, Chelsea, Wolves, Palace. And Chris dug out Burnley. He's right. He's actually right. Yeah. It was the last one I would go for.
But see, when you know you've had a couple wrong, you then just panic and you just blurt something out.
I can see that. And I think a sign of how tough they were, neither of you answered very many either. You both got the next one after Tom Boyd. It was Paul Lambert. It is the lowest scoring of all time. It's a 1-0 to Chris in Dumbarton. It's like a KG end of season relegation battle.
Oh,
incredible. Chris, a win's a win.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Well done, Chris.
Listen, you were still player of the year in 1983.
I did know Stephen Gerrard. That's more of a consolation.
I know. It's the first question,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
The first sort of question, nerves kind of thing. But there we go. A 1-0 win. We don't get them very often. It has to be said.
I certainly know any concern for Roger Hanna or
no
Kenny
10.
Miller,
there was no 10. We went the opposite way tonight as much as we could. There was absolutely no 10. Quite a few though. Man City, Spurs, West Ham, Chelsea, Wolves, Palace, Burnley. None of them with a Scot. There you go. Who would have thought it?
But when they do have Scots, they have prime Scots.
Like, that's true. I mean,
like Andy Robertson and McTominay.
Sean, like Gordon DL for Man City.
Sean tweeted in to say West Ham have Davy Moyes, which is true. He's very Scottish, but we were going for players in the playing squad. So there we are.
Yeah, they've got Billy McKinley as well. Was
I said that on Saturday. Did you see him having a go? Was that in the European
game? European tie, yeah.
Looking quite angry.
He gave it the full Glaswegian.
Badger.
I like that.
He told one of the
representing
opposition benchmen that he would be seeing them later.
All right.
As you do. 01419511025. We're talking player of the year because it is that season very much. I know it seems early. Someone tweeted to say, we're not even played the post-split games yet, but that is it. The list, the votes are in, I would imagine, because the list will be announced in the next couple of days.
PFA dinners a week on Sunday.
The team of the year was out at the weekend, so that's just where we are. So your task is simple. Four names on the shortlist and whittle that down to one winner. The vast, vast majority. In fact, has anyone phoned for anyone other than Lawrence Shanklin? Oh, James Tavernier.
Yeah, James Tavernier.
The James Tavernier shout. The vast majority of tweets reckon that Lawrence Shanklin is going to nick it. Most of the same names appearing on that shortlist as well, I would have to say. We've got a nice tweet there for you with some pictures to jog your memory. I don't think you'd need it. FD wanted to throw in Danny Armstrong, Kilmarnock, like you did, with Miovski, Shanklin and O'Reilly. So FD's kicking out the Rangers players from the list that you two have produced, but that's fine. Graham has given us a bit of thinking. Butland, excellent season, not many errors. Filled Alan McGregor's gloves and he should win it. Miovski, 18 goals, should be at a bigger club. Shanklin, top scorer and will be at the end of the season. And Tavernier, second top goal scorer and multiple goal contributions. It's always, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot, because it's to state the absolute obvious, and Jim Duffy's the prime example with it being a personal award. You know, in the last season, Kevin Van Veen was that part of the league. He got nominated. You two reckon, or one of you reckons, Miovski got nominated from a team that struggled. Is that a bit easier to do for strikers then? Because ultimately the numbers just speak, don't they? As we said, you broke the mould. We're not getting any bottom six defenders, I don't think, appearing on this list.
It's very difficult, I think, for the defender, of course, those goals. But, you know, with the PFA award, you know, somebody, let's say, for talk's sake, we're going on about Shanklin here, is he's probably scored against just about everybody. I don't know if he has scored against everyone, but he certainly scored against the vast majority of teams. So if you're up against somebody like that, and that's when you notice these type of things, whereas a defender, it's a little bit more difficult, I think, because even if you're, if the other team is defending really well and that defender's playing well, you're that focused on trying to win the game that you're not actually thinking it's because that guy's playing well. So it's more difficult, I think, for defenders to pick up the award. I think that probably over the years, I'm not quite sure what the kind of ratio was. But generally speaking, you would think that goal scorers catch the eye a bit.
Yeah, keep your calls coming. By the way, that's not the only topic tonight. The first one, we were talking about signings and all that sort of thing. There are only five games left. There is a title race on, very much on. If you want to just discuss that in plain and simple terms, we are here for you. Most of you do seem to be phoning about the player of the year discussion. But if you want to talk titles or Scottish Cups or anything else, get in touch right now, please. Andy is in Plains. How's it going, Andy?
I'm good, Gordon, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight?
What I'm thinking tonight is your player of the year. I'm a big Celtic man, have been all my life. And what I would say is the player I would pick for player of the year is Butland, right? Because without Butland, the title would have been sewn up a good few games ago. And Europe would have been finished for Rangers long ago. He's kept him in the Europe, he's kept him in the league. And I just feel sorry that, I know Joe Hart's been a great servant for Celtic, but it's a pity Butland hadn't signed for Celtic, because I think he's a quality goalkeeper.
There's no doubt he's been good, you both agreed.
Yeah. I mean, yes, and I put him in my list of four, but I don't expect him to win it. And the point about the league would have been won. Jack Butland has played in three games against Celtic and has not been on the winning side. Celtic's problem going into the last five games is that they have dropped points all over the place to other people. 6 to Hearts, 3 to Kilmarnock. And they have undone the good of the Old Firm games by what happens elsewhere. So you couldn't make out a case for, you know, Jack Butland has prevented Celtic from winning the title thus far.
I guess Andy's point would be based on he reckons Rangers would have dropped points in other games if it wasn't for Jack Butland. I do find that...
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not just talking about the Old Firm games. I'm talking about the saves he hauled off in the Old Firm games. Even the last one there, we could have been 3 or 4 up at half-time. But the other games in the league... Mm-hmm. The saves he's hauled off in the other games, unbelievable. Honestly, he's like a world-class goalkeeper. And
it's difficult, I think. I think that's difficult because when, if you're talking about saves, firstly, that's what goalies are there for, as the kind of cliche goes. So they're going to need to make saves at some point. And then it's quite hard, I think, to sometimes differentiate between, you know, a good save and then, okay, that's a save that only Jack Butland makes. Because otherwise, you can't really say that, oh, well, they would have dropped points if it wasn't.
But it's like any top sportsman, they make the difficult things look easy. So if you're a good goalkeeper like Jack Butland, you make very, very few unforced errors, very few, if any. And the saves you make look comfortable is because you're in the right position, because you've anticipated it, because your experience tells you where you've read the situation. There's a number of reasons why a goalkeeper... Here, I think it's a bit of a flippant comment sometimes. You'll say, oh, that's one they should have saved. You know, anybody's tried to go and go even for a wee bit of fun sometimes knows how difficult it is. So I think, you know, as Andy was mentioning there, I think Butland is a top-class goalkeeper. And having to follow Alan McGregor was always going to be a tough call, the next goalkeeper, because he was such a huge player for Rangers. And particularly in Europe, McGregor was magnificent for Europe.
I just remember a spell, and I don't even know when it was, but there was like maybe a three-game spell or a few-game spell where Rangers faced like no shots on target or one shot, something like that. And that's just where I wonder, you know, he has been good. I wouldn't dream of saying he hasn't been good, but how many points has he rescued from nowhere?
Yeah, but again, he can only do what he's asked to do.
That's
right,
the thing,
defensively.
Absolutely.
But again, he can have an influence where he might be talking. Who knows? He might be organising, particularly in set plays. He might be saying, look, pick him up, get that done, get on
Hugh
the front.
Keevan's a good talker. He's not getting played in the
All of those things you don't know. You're not aware of watching it from afar. I just think his influence has been immense for Rangers. I think he is a top-class goalkeeper. He's terrific with his feet, both feet, right and left foot. He's a modern-day goalkeeper. He's got presence. And I mentioned, pulls off the odd wonder save like he did against Celtic. And I think Matt O'Reilly's header in particular was an unbelievable save.
He has enhanced our league, without question. Yeah. But as someone who was tonight accused of using extreme language, he's not world-class. If he was world-class, well, he's certainly okay, more than okay. But if he's world-class, like any other world-class player, he wouldn't be in our league.
Who's Celtic's player of the year, Andy? Who does Celtic get on that four-man shortlist, do you think?
I find that quite hard to answer, being a Celtic fan. Who's your player of the year? Because the simple fact is, we've had that many injuries and that many quality players no hitting form or out injured. I don't know.
Remember, we had our completely made up half season awards, during the winter break.
I really find it hard to pick out Celtic's player of the year.
And Matt O'Reilly ran away with it at that point. Is he tailed off too much, Andy? Or he's come back a bit? He's scored, obviously. I know it was cup, but he scored at the weekend. He's come back a bit, and he obviously was very, very good in the first half of the season.
Matt O'Reilly's either got his heart somewhere else or his vision somewhere else, because there's a few of the Celtic players just not performing to how they should.
I think that's unfair.
That could be done to inconsistency of the team.
He's still the top. So because I still had it open from the assists debate earlier, he's the top assister in the Scottish Premiership. He's got 11, and he's got 13 goals. Those are good numbers for a midfielder.
Every time there's a transfer window and somebody doesn't go who was speculated on leaving, the talk then is, he's sorry, he didn't get away in the window and he's not trying as hard. In O'Reilly's case, he may have tailed off for a while, but you go back to the penalty against Rangers at Ibrox. In that atmosphere, to dig the penalty that he did is classy. You go back to Saturday, he scores, and in extra time, with a very fine goal, the composure, the O'Reilly brain at work, and then in the penalty shootout, he steps up and hits the mark as well. So I think a bit concerned that Andy, as a committed Celtic fan, couldn't really think of one player.
Because we are, I wonder if this that kind of recency bias, but he set the bar extremely high in the first half of the season. He's maybe not lived up to that, but it's not like those numbers have fallen off a cliff. Like I say, he's got 13 league goals. That's the same as Cyril Dessers. It's the same as Theo Bear. It's one fewer than Bojan Majovski. Yeah. And he's got more assists than anyone in the league.
I think, yeah, his overall game, he's a player that, you know, that's pleasing on the eye. You know, he glides across the game because he doesn't run about like a headless chicken, creating into tackles and these things. He's got a player. He's got a lot of, as Hugh said there, he's got a bit of class about him. You know, he's got that creative spark. He's got great, lovely balance. He looks controlled. His awareness is terrific. So he's got an awful lot in his game. The difficulty, and I agree with Andy some parts, is if you look at last season, for instance, there was probably four or five Celtic players you would have thought could be in contention for Player of the Year. But there has been inconsistencies. There has been injuries. But O'Reilly has been the standout player for Celtic. So
thank you very much to Andy on 01419511025. Player of the Year debate, as it is every season, is proving a very popular one. I can see lots of you getting in touch. If you'd rather talk title race or something else, good time to call and we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here on 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Keep your calls coming in, whether it is Player of the Year discussion you want to continue, title race, something else. We are here for you. A bit of drama during the break on Clyde One Super Scoreboard when Jim Duffy spilled his water on the floor of the studio, which is no big deal, except Hugh Keevans is wearing his brand new brown suede shoes. Almost a disaster. And for a man of your vintage, he's 112 this year. Where did you get the shoes?
Am I allowed to mention the
other shops are available, yeah, but of course.
H&M.
I can't believe it. What a young, trendy thing. Well, you
there's got to have been a bargain. There's got to have been a sale on.
My wife was in there looking for a present for her youngest daughter, and she said, go to the men's bit. You know the way wives talk to you? Go to the men's bit. So I was standing there, and the lady very kindly came over and said,
are you lost?
Are you all right? And I said, yeah. I think she thought I'd wandered in off the street, you know. But I said, I just want to buy a pair of shoes.
I would love that. If in amongst the textured knits and and sort of linen shirts in H&M, see him wandering around looking for shoes.
That's why I'll never forget it. Are you all right?
Do you think she honestly she thought you were lost? You just wandered in off the street.
Yeah.
In his pyjamas on though.
Ah, exactly. They look good, don't you worry. 01419511025. Before we bring in Smiddy, who's on the line, let me give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Thank you to Jerry and Erskine for sending this in. I'm going to call this question AO because it's pretty much based around the final letter of a player's surname. Can you name seven players who've played for Scotland since 2002 whose surname ends in A or O? I don't know how our listeners have such the, I don't have the imagination to like come up with that shortlist. But
Dominic,
anyway,
Dominic Matteo.
Yes, well done. So since 2002, seven players been capped by Scotland and their name ends in A or O.
McKenna.
A or O.
McKenna, yes. And one more guess. This is right up your street by the sounds of it, Hugh. A O H and M.
Scott Minto?
Nope. Want some more thinking time? I'll leave it with you. Jerry and Erskine came up with the idea, emailed it to fulltime@clyde1.com, and he and got his question out on the show. That's the aim of the game for you. Let's bring in Smitty, who's in Chicago, Illinois, but he's from Royston. How's it going, Smitty?
How you doing, guys?
What takes a man from Royston to Chicago?
Well, good evening. How are you?
Good. Good. What takes a man from Royston to Chicago, Smitty?
I don't know. I've been here for 34 years now, so it was kind of... I came here for a summer and never went home.
I thought that you've lost your accent entirely.
The windy I'm a man city.
Of, yeah, any time I come back to Glasgow, people ask me where I'm from, and I think they're kidding me, you know?
I like it. I like it. A man who just goes away and never comes back. Why not? Why not? Nice. What's your point tonight then? Today or whatever it is?
I'd like to go back to the Celtic game on Saturday. I'm a Celtic supporter, but and it was just all the fuss that was being made about Joe Hart taking the penalty, and I couldn't understand it. I didn't think it was that big a deal. And one of the things I was listening to was I think Drew mentioned it, and he was not alone. A bunch of pundits all over mentioned that he wasn't particularly good with his feet, with the ball at his feet. And my whole thing was, well, if he was good with the ball at his feet, he wouldn't be a goalkeeper. He'd be a football player. And I just felt that to take a penalty, you know, you don't have to be good. You know, you walk up, place the ball, and pick your spot, you know. And I was more nervous about Lewis Palmer taking it than I was about Joe taking it.
I think everyone...
I'm old enough to remember when Hamish McAlpine was the United keeper, Dundee United, and he took all the penalties. And that was a great United team, you know. And I was wondering if Shu would have ever said to Jim McLean, "You're kidding me."
Jim McLean, Jim McLean banned me often enough for what I said to him. Yeah, they banned people that had nothing to do with the stories that he was banning them for. But I just in the heat of battle, Smitty, I just thought, no, a goalkeeper. And then when you see the quality of the penalties that come thereafter, Alistair Johnston, Tomoki Iwata, it doesn't sit well with me, goalkeepers taking penalties. And of course, I have to remind you, he did miss.
Does the fact, Jim, that it was explained, if you like, by Brendan Rodgers and Joe Hart, and that they practiced him on in the week, and he was always planned, and he was confident, does that change things for you? How do you look back on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Smitty a wee bit here because obviously I know Ederson took one for Man City, and everybody says, oh, he's great with his feet and all this kind of stuff. But I'm with Smitty. Listen, you need a bit of technique, of course you do. But we see so many players now trying to make something which is relatively simple really difficult. They go up, they stutter, they stop, they try and look at the goalkeeper, they try all sorts of things. You know, it's really about how you hold your nerve in that situation. And I think Joe Hart, the experience he's got, an international player, played in huge games, won titles with Man City and Celtic, then you've got to have the nerve for that. So I've got no problem with Joe Hart taking the penalty. And I think it was probably right to take the fourth, if you want to call it, because not often is that the most crucial one. But when they've practised it, he may well have just went up and smashed it into the roof of the net or whatever, and other players. There was, got to remember, there's been 5 substitutions in that game. So there's maybe been players who were on the initial list that perhaps had to get moved. And if Joe Hart's been one of the players that have practiced it, I've got no issue with a goalkeeper in a penalty shootout taking it, because I think it's more about holding your nerve than actually your technique.
They also hit a lot of shots at goal from that range in training, don't they? Just by the nature of working in Hugh's right. The hindsight bit is, we know that he missed, so therefore it becomes...
Yeah, but we've seen world-class players and top proper world-class World Cup winners ballooning them over the bar, trying to dink the goalie. We've seen Bernardo Silva the other day, he just tried to dink it, your goalkeeper just did. So it's not about what position you play, it's not about how technically gifted you are. Penalties are unique in the sense of 12 yards, go and make your mind up and don't change your mind. And yeah, unfortunately for Joe Hart, he did hit the post. I think if it's an outfield player, no one mentions it. It's just the fact it's a goalkeeper, he seems to gather more controversy. I'm with Smitty. I'm thinking, yeah, fair enough. If that's been decided, go for it.
Smitty, how does a title race with 5 games to go, 3 points separating the side, look from all the way over where you are?
Well, I won't lie. It's edgy your seat stuff. I mean, I'm sick to my stomach, to be honest with you. I was confident, or I was a wee bit pleased, or more confident before Saturday's game, and then I realised just how tight it's going to be. It's kind of, you know, can I tell you a wee quick story?
Of course.
I love the show, you know, and I like to go out and get my coffee and go into my car and go for a drive and listen to the show. Like I used to when I lived back home, you know, listen to the game, listen to the Radio Clyde before the football and then coming home from the football, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I because I watched Saturday's game, I missed the show, so I listened to the whole show on Sunday. And I really, even although I knew the score and Celtic had won, you guys in the studio, man, I was as nervous as heck. I mean, I was sitting thinking, man, if I was listening to this live, I'd be sitting on the edge of a cliff right now.
Someone did say, because we decided to use the goal flash button for the penalties, yeah. It was like an off-the-cuff decision.
I know.
Once I'd committed to it, I had to keep going, Some guy said he was driving, and it was like nerve-wracking, just waiting to hear the...
To see if it was a flash or not.
The goal flash. It's funny,
I said it was a contender for... best ever Scottish Cup tie I'd seen. You know, and because of the fact that it had the bizarre, a goalkeeper who goes down with cramp in a penalty shootout, it had the eccentric, it had the awful in terms of defending, it had the wonderful in terms of some of the goals scored by Majovsky again and by Matt O'Reilly. And from the minute Majovsky scored after 2 minutes until the 120 minutes and the penalties had been exhausted.
Then 3 hours it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can only say to Smitty in Chicago, we all felt the same. I had a pal that had got tickets for the game, and he said to me that when he went home, he had to literally walk in the front door, go upstairs, and lie down in his bed.
So, Smitty, what do you mean that you were feeling confident until the weekend, then you realised it was going to be tight? Is that because of the nature of the performance?
I think so. Well, not even. You know, you got to give Aberdeen credit, but not even the nature. It was just that it's not. It's just not written in stone, you know. Because the performance was Aberdeen. I thought Aberdeen played really, really great. I mean, and I couldn't help thinking, I've got a wee pal who's an Aberdeen supporter, and I was like, where was that performance all season? So I think it's just, you know. Just, I mean, my mammy said when I was wee, he'll get over it. And I'm 63 and I'm still not over it, so...
You'll never go over it, Smitty. It's in the blood. You're just going to have to live with it.
You know what, Jimmy? I don't even go and watch the Celtic Rangers games anymore because I can't take it, you know? I made a joke after Saturday's game when before the game, people were saying, Smitty, you're 63. You look great for 63. And after the game, they were like, Smitty, damn, are you sure you're only 63? I think I did. But listening to the Saturday's scoreboard on Sunday, I had to keep reminding myself that
you knew the result.
Yeah, I go, no, that was just a big show, you know, because it was, you guys, I'll tell you guys done it justice because it was edge of the seat stuff and I knew the score, you know.
Smitty, you are a good man. I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, guys. And I'll Google the show and I'll watch the show and I'll listen to the show in my car.
Brilliant. You're a good man. Take care.
Cheers, Smitty.
In Chicago. I thought it was mostly Royston. Then he went, oh man, at one point in the middle. And I could listen.
I absolutely love Chicago. You been there?
We can forgive
that. I've only been there a little for actually a couple of days on transit from moving across. So I was there for a couple of days back in the day.
The windy city. Yeah. Wonderful.
It's, you know, Smitty was saying there that the nature of the performance at the weekend reminded him that the title race is going to be close. But I wonder if it's actually changed anything. Just to broad brush it completely, both went through, and neither were at their sparkling best. Is that fair? They were kind of in the same way. I know in theory Celtics was closer because not in theory, it was technically closer.
Yeah,
it went,
but it's
kind of
strange, Gordon, because I felt that Celtic got perhaps more plaudits, or you know, more. You know, there was more talking points, more discussion, but there certainly seemed to be a bit more positivity. I felt that for Celtic winning, even though it was on penalties, then Rangers winning comfortably, because I think Hearts were quite poor on the day. And it seemed to be that Rangers didn't maybe get, you know, the plaudits that their result and performance deserved, because they pretty much controlled the game. They were never in any danger whatsoever, whereas Celtics was so end-to-end. But nevertheless, the objective of any semi-final is to win the match, and both of them achieved that. So we look forward to May the 25th. Is the time been decided yet?
No, I know the English
game's 3 p.m, but
is
the Scottish one not been decided yet?
Awaiting official confirmation of that, but certainly going to be a talking point. Yeah, look, there's going to be differences. I'm not saying it was exactly the same, but it's not like one of them was irresistibly good and one of them was horrendously awful. Uh-huh. They both got through. Rangers didn't need to beat their best because Hearts were poor.
Torture.
Celtic got the job done. The point I'm trying to make is I'm not sure it actually reflects on the title race that much, or changes anything, I should say, from the way we went into the weekend.
The title race, I think, will be affected by the title games. You know, they both got there, therefore it had no impact on what is to come.
Yeah.
St Mirren Rangers 12:30, Dundee Celtic 3 o'clock. It is Sunday. An irresistible Sunday. It is our beautiful Sunday.
Let's come a lot closer to home from Chicago. Johnny's in Shawlands. Player of the year, Johnny, who's getting the nod?
Yeah, for me, from a Celtic point of view, I was just laughing at the guy before. I think it was Andy, who could pick Butland for the player of the year, but couldn't pick a top Celtic performer.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, I would say that with player of the year, it always seems to happen. There tends to be a player who has a good start to the season, and then as the season goes on, maybe tails off a wee bit. I mean, I think Matt really still been okay. Not as good, like I say, as he was at the start of the season, and he kind of gets forgotten about a wee bit, and that tends to happen all the time. He sort of flipped it the other way about, and he started the way he's been the second half. And the second half of the season was how he played in the first half. I would say that he'd almost be a stick one for at least top three. And I think it's just unfortunate that it's happened the other way about.
Yeah, I think that recency bit does come into it, Jim, doesn't it? Because even the so-called tailing off bit, which he has, I don't think anyone's going to deny that, but in the tailing off period includes the dink against Rangers, which might be one of the kind of highlights of the season come the end. We'll find out when that period is, the goal that we mentioned there against Aberdeen. He scored at Livy, so I think he's got four in the last like 2 months or so, which is not, it's not horrendous. He's got three in his last four games. Is it the recency bias thing or forgetting about the first part of the season?
Yeah, you mentioned earlier on, Gordon, about you know, the winter break and saying, you know, we'll have a player of the year up until that end, and Matt O'Reilly would have been every conversation going up until then. You have a little bit of a dip for whatever reason, but over the course of the season, I think he's still shown immense quality and also responsibility. You know, the way he plays, you've got to be looking to take the ball, you've got to be creative, you've got to take risks, and I never think he's shown away from that. He's always trying to do it. Maybe for a month or so there, or a couple of months, it didn't quite come off at the same level as it did in the first period of the season, but still, I still think he's by far Celtic's most influential player this season.
We had a previous caller, Johnny, who said he expects him to go in the summer and for good money. Do you share that, or can he be tempted to hang around?
I would love him to stay. You want your best players to stay, but when it comes to Celtic just now, if it's an offer which can't be refused, it's not going to be refused. I think that over the piece, you look at his sort of Champions League performances, which is at the highest level, I think he was great this season. And same last year as well. Last year he sort of played a more defensive role as well, because McGregor was out for a few of the games, and again he was actually really good in that position. So if big teams are looking at him and look at those games, and again against Rangers as well, he's an assist for Kyogo, an assist for Kyogo, both at Ibrox and Celtic Park actually, and then he also gets a goal at Ibrox in the last game. You look at the big games and he's done his part. And that's whenever a big player sort of needs to come to.
Yeah,
it's just a fact of life that players now reserve the right to manage their lives and their careers. And O'Reilly has given everything to Celtic, and for the money spent on him has been a bargain.
And you can't grudge him for that queue either.
Yeah,
like if you're getting offered any job, if you're offered 10 times your wage, you're going to go. And you can't hold grudges for players. I mean, look, Kieran Tierney's a Celtic fan through and through. he went away Arsenal. You can't really hold a grudge for these players. Celtic can't compete with that sort of money.
Well, we'll find out. We're not moving him on yet. He could play a big part between now and the end of the season anyway. So thank you very much to Johnny for throwing that name in there, and makes a good case, I think you'll agree, for Matt O'Reilly. Since 2002, seven players have played for Scotland whose surname ends in A or O. Dominic Matteo, Scott McKenna,
Jackie McNamara.
Yes,
that's what I've got. Jackie McNamara.
You're supposed to be a team, not competing with each other.
You know, but we were listening to the programme like Smitty in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting excited about it.
I'm almost intrigued now to find out, because I'm sure I'm not going to get it. Another player whose name ends in O.
There is one more. No, two more. Sorry, but one is brutally difficult. The other one's got a kind of well-known name.
Yeah, a really bad speller. You say Charlie Mulgrew.
Chris Iwilumu.
Iwilumu, yep. Chris Iwilumu is on there as well. Three to get, we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been quite a quick show, I have to say. Hugh Evans and Jim Duffy are still here though, still going strong, and there is still just about time for you to squeeze a call in if you fancy. You can tweet us as well. Jerry and Erskine sent quite a good question in tonight. Tough but doable. Some recognisable names, some very left field names. Since 2002, seven men have played for Scotland whose surname ends in A or O. Iwilumu, Matteo, McNamara, McKenna.
I think I get one. It was a different question, but it's the same name. Akichi Anya.
Anya, yes, well done. Matthew tweeted in and got that one right.
And I've got another one, I think. Christoph Berra.
Correct. You've only got one to get. Now, I have to say, it's verging on...
impossible.
Yeah, unfair. One cap. Brutal.
An end in an O.
You know, I like...
Is it end in an O? Is that the one you're saying?
Yeah, but I mean, I'll leave it with you. You can see what we can come up with. But I mean, brutally difficult. One cap. And I reckon, probably in about 2002. That's why...
Was it the Bertie Volks era?
Probably.
Because he did give a lot of caps to a lot of people.
Listen, you've got until the end of the show anyway, so we'll leave it bubbling away, see what you can come up with.
Okay.
We are nearly there. The theme of tonight has really been the Player of the Year discussion. We have had some calls on the title race and stuff like that, but most people, and I'm just flicking through to see if there's anything, any name that we've not had yet. Tam says, surprised no one's mentioned Carter Vickers, but Tav, for me, his goal return from his position is ridiculous. Is it just about the lack of game time for Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Cameron Carter-Vickers has played from start to finish 12 games.
League games, I think, yeah.
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 I mean,
no one doubts how good he is, Jim. Would that rule him out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just sadly, his season's been blighted by injury. He's had a stop-start season, but when he is playing, yeah, there's no doubt he's got a huge influence in Celtic. It makes him a better team when he's in the team by a country mile. But, you know, when you've only played that limited amount of games, I don't think you're deserving. I know sometimes we can do it in an individual game. You'll get somebody that comes on for 20 minutes and scores a goal, gets man of the match. But I think a player of the season has to be consistent over a concerted period of the season. Most of it.
Yeah, I finally found one. Good, it took me a while. Where's the shout there from FCNVLOGD? Tavernier, Shankland, Butland and the Bear. He's put him in.
Theo Bear,
he's
yeah,
made team of the season.
To you, yeah.
Finally found what I was scrolling through all night. There must be somebody.
Who else did your mother vote for?
Suggested. I think.
Spittle.
Yeah, been very good. Mm. I think that's more part of the. It's part of the story with Theo Bear as well, isn't it? If we're talking about.
He struggled so much at St. John's.
Versus expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, did he get one goal for St. John's?
Yeah, he was really poor. He just didn't look a player at all. And all credit to you know, the Motherwell, the way they've played them, you know, the goals he's scored. Stuart Kettlewell, obviously. I mean, the board, I think, has to be applauded, because when you go and bring a player in who has basically done nothing and you think, this is a player I think I can turn into someone and can score goals for us, it takes a lot for the board to back you in that situation. So all credit to him, but all credit to Stuart Kettlewell for putting his neck on the line there and going for Theo Bear, and it's definitely proved a really successful signing.
I know this sounds like a like a lukewarm award. But to even have one mention on Twitter tonight, that is way more than anyone would have predicted, isn't it? That you look at the St Johnstone run, and I suppose, Jim, the all-round game, it seems to be developing. Like, as the season goes on, you can see a guy that's really learning to use his strengths.
It's confidence, and not just confidence in himself. He knows his team now have confidence. He knows the fans now believe he's a good player. You know, he's getting you know, well spoken about with the media, social media, all these things. These are really important things for footballers nowadays, Gordon. You know, if you go out there and you're trying to constantly prove yourself, you're on edge all the time. But if you can go to the games relaxed, thinking, listen, I'm a good player, my teammates know that, my manager knows that, I'm picked, I'm a regular player, I'm a regular goal scorer, then your belief just grows, your confidence grows, and you go into the pitch really truly thinking, I'm a good player here. And to be fair to him, he's surprised everyone. I don't think anyone's seen that one coming.
There's some really gentle comedy going on Twitter as well, with various people suggesting different referees. You see what they've done there. It's good that, isn't it? Only about 15 people did it, to be fair. So there we go. The rest have taken it.
Is there anybody at the top of the list?
Yeah, there are a few that have got multiple nominations, which they'll be pleased to know. So that's good fun.
Hello, John.
I'm
You'd be
sure.
happy.
Voted by their fellow players.
All of them are getting it, really.
Years ago, they used to say that about players. Willie Miller used to get it back in the day. Everybody said Willie was the ref. He used to ref the games.
Ref the games.
So nowadays, you've got the other side that referees are playing the games. They're the 12th man for the opposition.
I think Fraser Wishart, if you're listening, get the players to vote for the referee of the season.
The best referee.
That's what I'm saying. The best one. Because we're always talking about how bad everybody is. So somebody needs to be the best, even if he's the best of a bad bunch. Let's Fraser Wishart. You don't even need to credit me with the idea. I think that's a goer, Hugh. Who's the best, the referee of the season?
Best official.
There's enough trouble at that dinner late on in the night without that.
I'd like to see it, I have to say. Right, go on, one more. Now, any chance on the teaser? His name ends in O. He's been capped by Scotland since 2002.
Dwight Munro.
Ethan from Helensburgh called in with the right answer to this. Ethan, superb. Because I think I would be here until the PFA awards next season.
We're
trying
entitled
to get this.
To it. Was he a Scot by birth?
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean, it actually sounds maybe like an Italian name, but something like that. I think he was Kilmarnock was his club. One cap.
Yeah, because it ends in an O.
Maybe it's not an Italian name at all, by the way. I'm maybe just confusing things, but I would say it kind of
Bergamo.
Spanish descent, apparently.
Right,
there you are.
There you go.
Kilmarnock, Leicester, Dundee United.
Palo.
Really, mostly Kilmarnock.
Paulinho.
No.
ends in an O.
His first name is Peter.
Peter.
We're gone.
I knew him.
First name Peter. Second name ends in O. And he played like I can't give you much more.
Just tell us a name. It's easier.
But you think you're close, no?
I knew him. I spoke to him regularly.
He's a striker.
Peter.
No, he's more of a kind of midfielder or defender. Midfielder, I think.
Nah.
You're going to kick yourself in.
All the way home.
I know him.
I know, I do.
Like Will Ferrell and
Will Ferrell
Elf.
Santa Claus. Yeah. Elf.
Ready?
Santa, I know him. Begins with an M.
No.
What does it begin
with? Oh, come on.
We'll just keep feeding us here. Drip feed.
What might you have drip your feed. Beer in?
Canio. Canelo.
Peter Canero.
Canero.
Peter
Canero.
Unbelievable. Anyway. Thanks for that. That was good fun. Enjoyed that with Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy. And I particularly enjoyed all your calls and your tweets. We're back tomorrow with your favourite Thursday duo of Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. In the meantime, you might as well stay right there, because Amber is in for Callum and she's up next.